It is great to come together to worship God in spirit and truth, and it's great to have Fran and Russ back with us from Florida. I wish you could be on better circumstances. We continue to pray for your sweet family as you go through this difficult time. Candy, we are going to continue to pray for you as well as you're going through this difficult time as well. It's good to have Thomas back. I think you had a beard last time you left, didn't you? I looked over, I said, I think he might have shaved while he was in Minnesota. You know, as we think about this this lesson here this morning, doing the right thing. That's my kind of slide, Jim. I like that. Do the right thing. Doing the right thing will take faith and it will take courage. And as I think about this lesson here this morning, we're going to talk about the story of Esther. You guys remember the story of Esther, I'm sure. I know some of us, we have some newer Christians. Maybe you're not familiar with her story. But it's truly an amazing story. It's about the providence of God. And what's interesting is that God's not actually mentioned one time in the whole letter. But we know that when you study out this letter, brethren, you're going to see how Queen Esther is the scriptural hero to many. And for rightful reason, amen? I mean, there's a reason why she's a scriptural hero for so many people. We should all be inspired by her example to stand for what? For her conviction and courage in her faith. Brethren, can you imagine how much different the church and the world would look today if we had more Esthers, more Ruths, more Abrahams, right? And just go down the list of all these faithful people, and Joseph, and David, and so many others. Brethren, when you read about the life of Esther, you're going to learn that Esther, she eventually becomes the queen of Persia. She was asked by her cousin Mordecai to go to the king and to ask him to save her people, the Jews. But you see, the king didn't know that she was Jewish. Haman didn't know that she was Jewish. That part had kept secret. They never lied about it. Nobody asked, and they never actually offered up that information. And so when you think about this story, because the king advisor was plotting to kill all the Jews, Mordecai approached Esther. And notice this first passage of Scripture, because this is an important passage of Scripture, because it's not like, hey, can you go talk to your husband for me? No, it's a little bit different. You see, for anybody who went into the presence of the king without permission or without being called by the king, the law stated that they would be put to death unless they were offered the golden scepter. Look at this first passage as we consider this story, as we consider her courage and her faith that she had. It says in Esther 4:11, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death, unless the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live, and I have not been summoned to the king for some 30 days. And so what Mordecai is asking her to do is a pretty serious thing. Because she could only go in his presence, even though she's the queen, even though she's his wife, she could only go into his presence if she's summoned. And so, brethren, Esther, she had to exercise great courage to do so. When Mordecai encouraged and showed faith in Esther, he also fully trusted in God at the same time. And I know this because as I look at this next passage of Scripture on the screen behind me, just a few verses later, notice what it says in verse 14. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's household will perish. And who knows whether you have attained royalty for such a time as this? Brethren, you think about that simple verse there. Who knows if you have attained royalty for such a time as this? Mordecai was a man who put his faith in God because he tells her in this verse, even if you choose not to do what you know to be right, God will raise somebody up and the people will still be saved. And so Mordecai, being this man who puts his faith in God, he was also a man who raised Esther as his own daughter. You have to understand why they were cousins, one being the older cousin, but Esther's parents had both died. And so he had took her in into his home. And so she was able to be raised by a man of great faith. and a man who would actually allow his faith to take action. Like so many of us need to have a faith that takes action. And so, brethren, she would have understood what real faith looks like. She would have been able to understand by Mordecai's actions and how he lived his life that he was a man of faith and he was a man of action. And she would have also understood that people with real faith must act upon their faith. Amen? To have real faith means that you act upon your faith. And even though Esther had Mordecai's support, she still had to still make the choice, did she not? She understood and was raised by a man who was a man of action and who was a man that took his faith seriously, and she still had to choose to save her people. She still had to choose to act in her faith and not just live off somebody else's faith. And so remember, the end of verse 14 says, "And who knows if you have not attained royalty for such a time as this?" I want you to ask yourself a question this morning. Would you make the same choice? Would you make the same choice? Would you chance having your life come to an end to do what's requested of you in order to save your people, the Jews? Esther chose to move forward in faith, but she did so the right way. She asked Mordecai to have the Jews, her fellow people, to fast on her behalf. She wanted their spiritual support. She wanted them to petition God on her behalf. Notice this next passage. In Esther chapter 4 and verse 16, just still yet another few verses later, She tells Mordecai, go and assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, for I and my maidens also will fast in the same way. And then I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. And I love this last passage that shows her courage, shows her conviction, shows her faith. If I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. Brethren, that is faith. That is courage. Do you kind of start to see why some people consider her their faith hero? Right? Some people look to her as a scriptural, biblical hero because she was willing to go, she was willing to walk the walk and talk the talk. When I think about Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, her story kind of reminds me of what God said to Joshua. And he says, "Have I not commanded you to be strong? Have I not commanded you, Joshua, to be courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You see, brethren, Mordecai also understood this. Mordecai also believed this. He says, "Because even if you choose not to go, Esther, for I believe God will still yet raise somebody up to protect and to provide for his people. But you and your father's house will go into death." Brothers and sisters, friends and family, Esther gives us a great example to follow. During life, we will all have challenges and difficult days, will we not? I mean, how many of us are going through difficulties as I sit up here and I speak? Right? We are all going through something. We are all challenged with something. And during life, as we go through these challenges, we must make sure that we're spending time in quiet meditation. We must make sure we're spending time in prayer. You know, in the old days, they fasted. We're not commanded to fast as Christians, but we can. And so she called upon Mordecai to get the people of the Jews to fast, to petition God on her behalf. But she says, me and my maidens will be doing the same thing. And so, brothers and sisters, when you have difficult choices to make, don't rush into a decision, but turn them over to God. Make sure you turn them over to God in prayer. Make sure you meditate on His holy word and His teachings that lead us in life and godliness. Isn't that what the scriptures say? And when it's time to make the decision, then trust that God will walk with you wherever you go. What does it say on the screen behind me that God had told Joshua? Be strong and be courage. Don't tremble. Don't be dismayed. For wherever you go, God, your Father, is going to walk side by side. For where you go, God will go. And so, brethren, you never walk truly alone. Just like we learn from faith and courage that we've seen in three other young men. You know, at this time, Esther was a young woman. But there's three young men that also had conviction and had faith and had courage and showed loyalty unto God. You guys remember in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What do we learn there? Can you see some correlation between Esther's story and her faith and her courage and her loyalty to these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Brethren, we learn their story in the book of Daniel when these three young men who were faithful unto God, they chose to stand up against the king Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the strongest empire on the planet at that time. And these young men said, "We will not bow down. We will not worship your statues or your gods or you." And so, brethren, I look at this information. They demonstrated an unwavering faith, did they not? The story, their story is an example of courage and loyalty to one's beliefs and one's conviction, even in the face of extreme adversity. They didn't care that, you know, disobeying the king was going to cost them their life. They said, "We believe that God will save us. We put our trust in Almighty God that He will deliver us." But I love how they said, "Even if He doesn't, we still won't bow down and worship your statue, because we won't worship anything or anyone other than Almighty God." Brethren, you could see the correlation between Esther's story and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in regards to their faith and their loyalty to God. Esther prepared in every way that she could. She fasted, she prayed, she meditated, and then she turns it over to God. She chose to trust that even if she was unsuccessful, even if she should be put to death, she knew that she was doing the right thing. Brothers and sisters, friends and family, when we choose to do the right thing, we will be blessed. But that blessing doesn't mean that we still don't have to go through negative or positive circumstances. Amen? There's consequences to every choice we make in this life. And as I said last Sunday, that's why Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Take courage, He said. Take heart, He said, for I have overcome the world. Jesus is letting us know, brethren, that there's nothing that anybody could do to you in this life so long as you remain faithful, for you will still be blessed, even if you end in an untimely death. Brothers and sisters, when we bring this story forward to our time here in the 21st century, the circumstances of the world sometimes make it difficult for Christians to make the right choice, to do the right thing, especially in moments when the consequences of those choices might not be all that appealing. But that's why we must regularly read the Word of God. That's why we must meditate on the Word of God and remember the stories of these faithful brethren like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, like Esther, because it's their courage that will give us hope to do the right thing even today here in the 21st century. Brothers and sisters, consider how much easier we have it today in America. Consider how much easier we have it today in America, because Esther's level of courage is rarely asked of us. Amen? Esther's level of courage, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego's level of courage is rarely asked of us. But letting God reign through us does require us to keep His commandments. Allowing God to reign through us does cause us to have to keep the covenant that we made with Him. Jesus tells us in John chapter 14 and 15 that if you love me, brethren, He says, you'll keep my covenant. You'll keep my commandments. He also tells us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 through the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit was guiding the Apostle John, "For this is the love of God, that you keep my commandments and that my commandments are not burdensome." You see, brethren, most of us won't experience the threat of death in doing what is right like Esther did. Most of us won't experience the threat of death in doing what is right like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. But we will all have experiences that test us. We will all be called upon to go through things that are going to test our faith, test our courage, test our convictions and our loyalty, and they will test our dedication to doing what God asks of us. Brethren, we all have fears, amen? We all have anxieties and trials that we go through in this life. And these things will make it difficult at times, will it not? It'll make it difficult to put faith in the Lord and trust that what He asks of us is for our best. But remember, doing the right thing will require courage. Doing the right thing will sometimes be difficult. Doing the right thing will not only require courage, but it may be even uncomfortable. So let's all choose to be like Esther. We must have the real action-based faith in God. Because if your faith doesn't have action, and your faith doesn't have works, and your faith isn't built on conviction and loyalty, then what really is it? It's something to consider. So we must all have a real action-based faith in God and draw strength from Him to do what is right, to keep His covenants, to keep His commandments as we said we would do. So brothers and sisters, when we do act with courage and when we act with faith and blessings, those blessings will follow us for an eternity. But when we choose to sin, when we choose to turn our backs on God and the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, brethren, then those decisions and the consequences of those decisions will also follow us for an eternity. So the question is, will you find the courage to do what is right? Will you find the courage to do what is right, especially when it is hard? For we know how Esther's story ends. We know that the king extended the golden scepter to Esther. She was convinced that she convinced the king of the truth, and ultimately her action saved her people, which also saved the seed line, which also saved the plan of salvation. Because if Esther had not rose up and done the right thing, if God's people were slaughtered and all of them were killed, the seed line would have been lost. There would have been no salvation, because there would have been no Jesus, and we'd still all be in our sins and condemned at the end of our lives. Brothers and sisters, Esther didn't know how things would work out. She didn't know how things would work out, but she decided to trust God in the moment. She decided to trust God and in the moment, and we won't always know when we think of our lives what is going to take place. We won't know if things are always going to work out, but if we trust in God, if we believe in God and our loyalty is placed in God, then brethren, we can know that we're blessed no matter how it works out. No matter if the circumstances are negative or positive, that's the message for the whole book of Revelation. Brethren, that's something we've been studying on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings for some time now, that no matter what happens, God is saying to them, to all who are faithful unto even death, I will give you the crown of life. So what matters most is that we act in faith and leave the rest up to God. Brothers and sisters, as I get ready to close this down, that is why Jesus instructs us, be faithful unto death. Brethren, ask yourself, will you do what is right? Today, tomorrow, this week, this month, next month, will you do what is right? It's sometimes going to be uncomfortable. It's sometimes going to be difficult. It may even cost you, well, your life, as we look at the story of Esther, as we look at the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. But brethren, doing what is right is always worth it, because it's right. Even if it costs you relationships, are you willing to do what God requires of you? Even if it contradicts beliefs of society, are you willing to make the difficult choice and do what is right in the sight of God? Will you end romantic relationships if a person has different beliefs and values that are contrary to God, and they show that they're unwilling to repent? You see, brothers and sisters, sometimes faith and loyalty is uncomfortable. Sometimes it's going to cause you to have to deal with negative consequences and negative circumstances. But brethren, doing the right thing will not always be easy or comfortable, but it'll always be right. And you'll always be found pleasing in the sight of a holy and righteous God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, the scriptures tell us, for work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's the second half of chapter 2 and verse 12. But it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The fear is not exactly fear of God, but of the greatness of the task that you have been tasked with and the possibility of failing at your task. That's what that fear is talking about. And that is why God told Joshua to be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will walk with you, even if it means going into the fire. Brethren, I want us all to be like Esther as I close this down. I want us all to follow her example of courage and loyalty and by having faith, faith that acts in accordance with the will of God. Brethren, that is what Jesus calls for us to do. That is what the scriptures call for us to do. And when it's time to do the hard things and make the difficult choices, that we need to trust that God will walk with us. Because God loves you. And if you've done your part, we know that God has already done his part. And if you're willing to do your part and be loyal and faithful and true until the end, God will give you the crown of life. Brothers and sisters, if you're hearing this message and you're not a child of God here this morning, you have an opportunity to put on Christ in baptism, to be clothed in Christ in baptism. Brethren, if you go down into the baptistry, the scriptures tell us that if you go down into the baptistry, your sins are washed away. If you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and are baptized, your sins are washed away. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and God adds you to his church. Because right now, outside of the church, we all stand condemned. But for those of us who are in the church, and as John says, are washed in the blood of Christ and continue to be washed in the blood of Christ, even though we are yet sinners, we are found blameless in the sight of God because of the righteous blood of Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, if you're here today or if you're visiting today and this is your desire to be baptized, come forward as Chuck sings the song of invitation.